محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وعليكم السلام
صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين المعتزلين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك الأوغام وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
يا الله تبارك وتعالى make this مجلس a مجلس of معرفة a مجلس of نور which remains an asset of ours in this برزخ الدنيا and قيامة إن شاء الله One of the علماء living in Mashhad he says that once he had some shock fall in his funds and he wanted some renovation, some repairs to be done in his house. But the beauty of these people of such caliber is that whenever they are in need of something, they knock on the door of Imam al-Asr al-Jalallah ta'ala says that I had this tawassul with the Imam of time and get no reply. Straight comes to Mashhad, to the shrine of our aged Imam, bringing a complaint of the grandson to the grandfather. Now this again is the caliber of these Muslims that when they get stuck, they go to the house of the Imams, again if they have a complaint, again to the doorstep of the Imam. He says, I came to the shrine of the aged Imam and then I started complaining about his grandson that this is not the way. I had these needs, these hajjah requirements. I told him and in so many days now he hasn't granted them as yet. He says that as I was complaining to the Imam, I saw someone, a young man standing beside me and with him is an old man. That young man was Imam himself. That is Imam al-Asr ajallallahu ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And with him was an old man. And that old man and those of the mu'mineen who have been blessed with the visitation and ziyarat of Imam, they say that we always see that there is an associate of his, an assistant of his, who was with him all the time. And that is Prophet Khizr. That old man who was with him is Prophet Khizr. And one of the duties assigned to Prophet Khizr is, for example, on the day of Arafah, he has to be present in that plain of Arafat for those few hours from Zohr till Maghrib, 4 hours, 5 hours. And the task assigned to him is to say Ameen, Ameen to the du'as of all those present over there in the plain of Arafat. That is the only job description he has on that day. He says that I saw this young man with me and with him that old man and when I was complaining all of a sudden this young man he raises his hand that is Imam he raises his hand and suddenly I see a vision a clip open before me and I see the house of Zahra and Ali in Kufa and he says that I was moved and touched upon seeing that humble house of theirs with that pottery wheel of clay, with that spinning wheel, and the grinding wheel on which they used to grind wheat and all that was present. And he says, I saw that humble house and all of a sudden my sight struck to that door and that nail when Zahra was crushed. He says, I started crying at that point and said, Ya Zahra. Upon seeing that humble dwelling place of hers, the problem, the complaint that I had, I just forgot. I said, to be honest, if that is not granted, it doesn't matter. And he says that the moment I said, Ya Zahra, Imam's eyes were filled with tears. On two occasions, his eyes are filled with tears. One, when he is reminded of Abu Abdullah Hussein, and secondly, when he is reminded of the name of Zahra is uttered in his presence. The night that we are in is that night of Imam, the night, Thursday night. And one of the bonds that we can have with him is through the istighasa, which is present in Mafatihul Jinan. It's called istighasa to the Imam of Time. We've got an English version of it online, seeking help from Imam Mahdi. It's a small ziyarat, a beautiful ziyarat. Add it to your daily program, recite that in the morning or whenever you feel comfortable, with an additional bond with the Imam of Time, and that is through this ziyarat. One of the ayahs that we have in the Holy Quran, it's Ayatul Kursi. That is ayat number 255, 256, and 257 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Regarding Ayatul Kursi riwayat, they say that it is the light of the skies. It is the treasure of the throne, that is the arsh. Ayatul Kursi is protection in your journeys, in your travels. Ayatul Kursi is that highest point of Quran. And the Prophet's recital was Ayatul Kursi. By Ayatul Kursi, man, he is never afflicted. Financial matters, for that Ayatul Kursi is very effective. Everything that you find in this entire creation, grand creation of Allah, you find it is held in this ayat. That is the skies, the earth, everything can be found in this Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi, it removes the fright and attracts the help of Allah. Reciting Ayatul Kursi at night will protect you during the day. Reciting during the day, it will protect you all the way till the night. If you've got aches, eye aches, cure is Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet says that you recite Ayatul Kursi, Iblis, Shaitan, he will be distanced from you. Ayatul Kursi is the pillar, the column of the throne of Allah, and by reciting it, one does not worship anyone but Allah. And it is said that if someone wants his ma'rifah, his ilm, his intellect to be increased, recite Ayatul Kursi as much as you can. One of the other quotes says that if you recite Ayatul Kursi 41 times before Maghrib, or at the time of Maghrib, no matter what hajat you may be having, they will be fulfilled. So all these are the benefits that we find in riwayat regarding Ayatul Kursi, and one who recites it, makes it a habit of reciting Ayatul Kursi, that too eases the pains of the death and the time when a person is giving away his life. This is regarding Ayatul Kursi, so that again a top-up to add on to our performance. One of the reporters that we have is Hammad bin Isa, reporters, students of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu
wasalam.
Hammad bin Isa is an old man, a student of the sixth Imam. One day Imam, he says to Hammad, and we've got loads of ahadith that have been reported from this noble person. Imam one day says, Hammad, come on, stand up. Can you say your prayers? I want to see how you pray. Hammad bin Isa is in the presence of Imam. It's like a great marja at taqleed. And Imam is present. So it is as if a marja at taqleed today. Imam tells him, stand up and say your prayers. I want to see how you say your prayers. He stands up, offers his prayers, and then when he was done, Imam says, aren't you ashamed of yourself, Hammad, with this old age of yours, with this white beard of yours? Is this how you pray? Now what the fault was in his prayers, we don't know. But that is how Imam addresses. So what we learn from here is that in our performance, there is a lot of wrong. And that needs to be corrected. So all that wrong that we have to look into it and correct it, fix it. And if someone tells anything, there's nothing to get offended. Amr bin Ma'ruf means it's a correction. That is, if you find something wrong in me, you tell me. If I see something wrong in you, I tell you. That is why, that is how a society grows. That is exception to prosperity. That is by correcting ourselves. Or for example, we've got in the south of Iran an Imamzada called Abdul Azim Hassani. He is the great grandson of our second Imam. One day, Abdul Azim Hassani, he himself is a great personality. He comes into the presence of our tenth Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and says, "Imam, these are my aqaid. This is what I have faith in. Can you just check if that's right?" His great grandson of Imam al-Mustafa coming to Imam Hadi to get his aqaid checked. Imam listens to him carefully and then says, "Yes, your faith is that faith which was of my forefathers, which was of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and this is what I have faith in." So if there is any shortfall in our performance, if we need correction, this is the teaching that we have, that has been taught to us by Ma'asumeen, there is nothing to be ashamed, and it is always good to have ourselves corrected and checked before it is too late. The topic that I have for these few lines is an advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam
to his companion Abazar. Inshallah, we recite a few phrases of this wasiya every day so that we learn and the shortcomings in us are corrected. Here Rasulullah mentions the importance, the value of prayers, of salats, and the ranks, the positions mu'mineen will get in the hereafter. We did talk about prayer on and off on many occasions, and about the prayers, the more we talk, the more we need to talk. That is, this prayers, which is among the greatest blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us, we need to correct them, to bring it to the maximum and the best quality. Here Rasulullah says, "Ya Abadar, Inna Allah Jalla Thanahu La Yudkhilu Qawman Al Jannata Fayu'tihim Hatta Yamillu." Says Abadar, Allah will make, the Almighty Allah will make a nation enter the heaven, and in the heavens He will give them so much that they will get tired of receiving all these favors and blessings from Allah. And then he says that, وَفَوْقَهُمْ قَوْمٌ فِي الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَىٰ. For example, if they've been blessed with a rank in the heaven, an economy class rank, for example, and all of them are present over them. Here says that they will look up and they say that, "Oh, these were with us, how come they have excelled? How come they've been given a business class seat over there in the heaven and we remain down here?" Says, رَبَّنَا إِخْوَانُنَا كُنَّا مَعَهُمْ. They were our brothers, they came to the same Al-Balai. How come they've gone up and we remain down? كُنَّا مَعَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَبِمَا فَضَّلْتَهُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Why have you excelled them? Why are they higher in rank than us? Allah will tell them, "Hayhat, hayhat. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَجُعُونَ حِينَ تَشْبَهُمْ." The reason why they've been given a better place in the heavens is that when you were full, they were fasting. Their stomachs, their bellies were empty. وَيَلْمَعُونَ حِينَ تَرْهُونَ. And when your thirst was quenched, they were thirsty. We'll shed some more light on that. And at the time of rest, when you were asleep, you saw them, they were awake at night, or early in the morning, they were awake in worship. That is the reason why they have been excelled, they've been granted a better status here than they have. Then he continues saying that, Ya Abadar, جعل الله جل ثناؤه قرة عيني في الصلاة. Above Allah has made the joy, the delight of my eyes in prayers. وحبب إلي الصلاة كما حبب إلى الجاي الطعام. And for me, prayers, they are so much beloved as for someone who is so hungry. And you give him food, how he enjoys. Rasulullah says, for me, prayers are much more enjoying than that. Or someone who is thirsty, when you give him water, how happy he becomes and how he quenches his thirst. Says, for me, prayers are foremost and much more beloved than that. وَأَنَا لَا أَشْبَعْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. And I never get full, I never get tired of praying. So prayers is this beautiful gem that Allah has given to us. And then says, يَا أَبَاذَا أَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ تَتَوَّعَ فِي يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ إِثْنَتَيْ عَشَرَ رَكَعَةً سِوَى الْمَكْتُوبَ كَانَ لَهُ حَقًّا وَاجِبًا بَيْتٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That says, أَبَاذَا, in addition to these wajib prayers that I have made wajib upon, that Allah has made wajib upon you, that is Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, Rasulullah says, in addition to these wajib mandatory prayers, if you have 12 raka'at of additional mustahab prayers, that is in sets of two, says it is binding, it is wajib upon Allah that He gives you one house in the heaven, just for those 12 raka'at of prayers that you will top up onto your performance every day.
Wajib and salawat!
Now, in this beautiful, in these few phrases, we find that Rasulullah's advice could be categorized into a few key stages. The first stage is that we have to remove things around the ghaflat, the unawareness that is in us. There is a lot of ghaflat, there is a lot of unawareness because this busy life that we have, we find we become neglectful, we become forgetful. So all that dust has to be removed so that that neglectfulness in us is removed. That distance between us and Allah is removed. And the next stage is that once we have removed that forgetfulness, we top it up with the knowledge, with the ma'arif, with the ilm of Allah, with the divine sciences that we have, faith in the unseen, faith in Allah, faith in the hereafter, faith in prophethood. That is how that vacuum has to be filled. Once you fill that vacuum with this ilm, with this knowledge, with this ma'rifah, the key phrase, stage three, is that we have to top it up with actions, with good a'mal, that is, the do's and the don'ts which Allah has said. And once we perform these three stages, we find that Behisht, or that heaven, it becomes mandatory and wajib. That is, we've entered into that heaven. But entering heaven is something else, and then all the different ranks that we have in the heaven, that's another story. That is, one of the names that we have given for the day of judgment is Yawm al-Hasra. That is, the day of regret. That is, mu'mineen, they will regret on that day. That is, why did I waste my time? I did not do something beneficial. Had I done that, I would have benefited much more in this hereafter. Over here, when Rasulullah talks about that day of Hasra, says mu'mineen, they are all mu'mineen, they have all entered the heaven. But then when they see up that they have got a better place, and you've got all these couriers coming in all the time, delivering gifts and blessings and favors to these mu'mineen, they will get tired of receiving all those blessings and favors from Allah. And the reason for that is because at the time when they were, the others were sleeping, they were awake, they were whispering, they were praying, and it was time they topped up and their days were with these mustahab prayers, and that is how mu'mineen, they elevate and get a better position in the hereafter. So the a'mal and actions that we do, they have to be constantly upgraded. We shouldn't stick to what we have learned 40, 50, 30 years ago and say that is what we learned from our parents and that is we have to stick to it. We don't have to stick to it. we have to constantly upgrade. As in our day-to-day tasks and livelihood, we build a house, we upgrade it, get a bigger one, a better one, a nice locality, some more rooms, some more decorative items, new furniture. The same thing has to be done to the spiritual side of affairs, that we shouldn't stick to only those five prayers. If it's those five prayers, better the quality. Ruku has to be made better. Sajda has to be made better. The recitation has to be done in a beautiful way. Prayers, then we have to give importance to it. And if we give importance to it, we find that we benefit. If you look into the teachings that we have from Ma'asumeen alayhi wasalam, says that whenever Ma'asumeen, they used to get afflicted, whenever they had problems, they seek help from prayers. For example, we find with regards to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
says that whenever Amir al-Mu'mineen gets afflicted, whenever he has problems, what he does is that he comes and recites 1,000 raka'at of prayers, fasts for 3 days, feeds 60 poor, 60 masakeen, and then he asks Allah to ease and to remove that distress, that problem. That is what we have been taught, that whenever we get stuck, instead of calling all these different people, help, getting help from others, first get help from that door, from where this, everything has been shut before us. That is Allah. And the teaching is that when we get stuck, offer a tour of a prayer and ask Him to remove, and He will remove. And it is as such that many a time we find that we come and say a prayer and we don't get an answer. And in the continuation of the same hadith here, Rasulullah says that you have to come to the presence of Allah so much, knock on to His door so much, until the door has been opened. Now the door that has been mentioned over here, there is no door as such between us and Allah. It's a free access. The doors, the barriers, those hijabs, we have created them due to our bad performance, all the wrong that we do. It becomes a hijab, it becomes a filter, it becomes a barrier between us and Him. And that has to be removed, and that is the door. Here Rasulullah says that you have to knock onto the door so many times until that door opens for you. That is, whenever we get stuck, do a turakat prayer. Call upon Allah for every little thing that you have. Istikharas that we do, istikhara means talab al khair, that is asking for the good. Many a times you find that a Quran is open and something is taken, an ayah comes out, and that is the istikhara, or sometimes the deeds, the tasbih is used. Performance of some of the ulama, for example, Ayatullah Juz Majawadi Ahmadi, whenever you go and tell him for an istikhara, he never does an istikhara with neither a Quran nor a tasbih. His istikhara is, he does a two-rakat prayer, and then he asks Allah, and whatever comes to your mind, whatever you are inspired with, that is the solution, that is the resolution, that is the result of that problem that you have. And that is how we have to train ourselves, that whenever we get stuck, we have to come and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to find us the solution. For example, we find in Quran, ayat says that وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that is, you seek assistance. How is sabr? Sabr means patience. Ma'asumeen, they say that sabr means fasting. Salat is prayers. That is, you have to get help from fasts and prayers. And that is what we find in the performance of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that ma asaba Amir al-Mu'mineen bi musibatin illa salla fi dhalika al-yawm al-faraka'ah. That is, whenever he gets afflicted, he offers 1,000 raka'at of prayers. وَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَىٰ سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينًا, feeds 60 people, وَصَامَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ, and fasts for 3 days. This 1,000 raka'at of prayers may sound really too much. One of the great ulama that we have is Allama Amini, the author of Al-Ghadir. A person comes to him and says that, Allama, this hadith that we have, that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he used to offer 1,000 raka'at of prayer, is that right or wrong, correct or not? Is it authentic? He doesn't say if it's authentic or not. He doesn't say if it's right or the source is right or wrong. He says, I have experienced it myself. That is, if a normal person like him can can perform 1,000 rak'at of prayers in one day, then Amir Mu'min can definitely do it. So, that is, whenever they get stuck, they come and seek assistance from by practice. Says that, Ya Abada, Ma dumta fi salat fa innaka taqra'a bab al malik al jabbar wa man yaksur qara'a bab al malik tahla. Says Abada, whenever you have stood in before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in prayers, it is as if you are standing before that Malik, the ruler, the king. Jabbar means mighty, your mighty king, which is Allah. And as long as you are standing in worship before him, it is as if you are knocking his door and you want that door to open. The reason why the doors don't open before us, we don't know how to knock. That is, the prayers we offer are so faulty that they don't do the tap-tap at all. In Farsi, they say that Gyan Kedan Kahil Muga Taksir Sahib Khan Echis. That is, if the beggar does not know how to beg, then what is the fault of the person who wants to give? He wants to give, but we don't know how to ask. So the prayers need to be corrected. May that be the mood or the manner that we offer the prayers in, that has to be fixed. And we have to invest on these prayers a little bit more. Whatever you are spending on these prayers, we have to spend a bit more. That is, the place where these prayers are said, the location that has to be fine, or all these different types of turbulences that we have in prayers, they have to be removed. The first is these cell phones that we have. Ringing all the time, you're getting all these messages, emails. You have to shut those for a little while. If we don't want to have a rest ourselves, at least we have to give them a rest, these cell phones, for them to rest. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, shut them and we stand in prayers. And in that 5-10 minutes that we are associating, communicating with Allah, we have a free, friendly conversation with Him. Initially it will be difficult, but it is possible. Because Allah, when He says that, when you are standing in worship before me and you are knocking at the door, you will find, there's another quote which is amazing. He says that the moment you stand in worship before me, from your head right up to the arsh, the throne of Allah, you are drowned in mercy. Drowned in mercy. Now what exactly it means, we don't know. That is, we have to feel the love, the joy, and we have to start enjoying these prayers until before it is too late. We have amazing riwayat from Masumeen. They say that throughout your life, inshallah, you will all live for long. If, for example, we live for 100 years, in these 100 years, we have so many prayers. 5 of them are wajib every day. 100 multiplied by 5. We've got 365 days in a year, multiplied by 365. So that many prayers are being offered by us every day. Assuming it's 10,000, it's 100,000 for example. Imam says that out of these 10,000 prayers which you had performed throughout your life, if only one or two of them were correct, then as a result of by those one or two correct prayers of yours, all the rest of the 40 prayers of yours will be accepted, corrected, and the wrong will be waived from them.
So, wajib lan salawat. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ala. So it means that it's a big challenge, that the prayers that we are offering, performing, they are faulty. Definitely they are faulty and they need to be fixed. There are certain tips that ulama did mention. One of them is that the place where you offer your prayers, the disturbances that we have, the first one is that cell phone, televisions if there is, laptops if we have, shut them for a few minutes, shut down. And then stand in worship before Allah. Say Allahu Akbar, feel as if we are in His presence. And then when we say that Allahu Akbar, we understand what is the meaning of Allahu Akbar. And this again, it's a very pity that if we cannot say our prayers, which is just 20 sentences, 20 phrases throughout our life, that is a huge big loss that we are sustaining. That is, One Allahu Akbar. We've got 7 verses in Surah Al-Hamd, 5 verses in Surah Ikhlas. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. Tashahud and Salam, all together it's only 20 sentences, not more. And if we cannot say these 20 sentences correctly, it's a pity. And we are worthless in reality. So here we have to say, we have to understand what we are saying. And when we are reciting Surah Al-Hamd, it should be as such that when I say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we have the subtitles, that is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, moving in our hearts. That is what we mean what we say. And a time will come that you can just understand that whole surah without the subtitles, that what you are saying is what we believe in. That way, a prayer is done. And throughout this prayer, we find that shaitan, he attacks a lot. He attacks too much, especially when a person has stood in prayers. Initially, it will be difficult out of those 10 minutes, maybe 20 seconds, if we were very lucky. That is, that presence of mind was present. But gradually, slowly, we find that out of those 10 minutes, 1 minute will be there, 2 minutes will be there, 3 minutes will be there, and slowly, that attention will increase, and our presence also in the presence of the increase. One of the other tips that ulama, they give us, is that they say that out of these 5 prayers of yours, if you can invest in all good, but if you are starting and you are a new learner in this field, invest on one of the prayers a little bit more than the others. For example, the Fajr prayers. If you take 3 minutes or 4 minutes to offer the Fajr prayers, not invest in it so much, increase it to 10 minutes. That is, say Allahu Akbar properly, recite the surahs in a good way. When you go and repeat, say the zikr 7 times with a salawat after it, and then sami Allahu liman hamida. Then again in sajda, say the zikr 7 times, second zikr again 7 times. So 10, increase the azkar so that we start enjoying this prayer in a different way. And it is possible. And if we start this program, we will find that the first few days we couldn't keep it up. We forgot in Raku, instead of saying 7, just said once, and we went into sajda. It doesn't matter. In that first sajda, instead of reciting those zikr 7 times, top it up to 14. Because we've lost 7 in Raku. So that way, if we start emphasizing on these Raku and zikr, or if we start giving penalties to us, and that is by topping up the azkar in the prayers, that joy in which we don't, or within the prayers that we don't enjoy, that would be possible for us to enjoy it a little bit. One of the du'as that we have, that Masumeen had, they used to say, some of them used to say, Allahumma arzuqni halawata dhikrik. That is, Allah, grant me the sweetness of your remembrance. That is, remembrance is prayers. Zikr is Quran. Zikr is prayers. Zikr is Imam. So Allah grant me the sweetness of this prayers, for example. So prayers are sweet. The reason why we don't feel the sweetness, because we don't understand what these prayers are. Or for example, Allah wa innaka law wajadta halawata ibadatillah. Indeed, if you saw the sweetness of the worship of Allah, وَرَأَيْتَ بَرَكَاتِهَا وَاسْتَذَعْتَ بِنُورِهَا, and you saw the barakat, the favors of these prayers, and that how you get enlightened with these prayers, لَمْ تَصْبِرْ عَنْهَا سَاعَةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَوْ قُدِرْتَ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. Here, the sixth Imam, he says that you will never leave or abandon this prayer aside. You would want to come towards prayer all the time because of the sweetness of it, because of when you see how you get enlightened with these prayers, and even if you were just to get sliced into pieces, you would never abandon or leave these prayers aside. So prayers, they are important, and we have to give importance to these prayers. We find riwayat that say that that prayers, they are like a river which is by your house. Now if you were to wash yourselves 5 times a day in that river, no trace of dirt would ever remain on you. Rasulullah says that this river is inside your home. And if you were to wash yourselves 5 times a day with these prayers, how much elevation would you gain, which you would possess? All these are beautiful teachings that we have, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in this glorious hadith, and inshallah, we will continue these and this saying inshallah tomorrow. The days that we are in, it are the days related to Ahlul Bayt, and in particular the caravan of Noor. The tasks that were with Abu Abdullah and Hussein, he confides in his sister, and these tasks are given to her because the Imam is ill, the fourth Imam is ill. On the day of Ashura, we find that Abu Abdullah and Hussein, he starts the day before everyone and he ends after everyone. A time comes when everyone has passed away and he is all alone and he has to give that sacrifice all by himself. And it was among the tactics of Abu Abdullah, because he's the last one that is remaining. He comes towards the camp, says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, loud. It has two, for two reasons. One is that zikr itself, coming by the camp and comforting the women and children that I'm still alive. And when he recites it loud, they hear, and they are also at rest that the elderly of this caravan of ours, he is alive. So they are happy. Performance of Abu Abdullah throughout that day is amazing. On one occasion, that is when Abu Fadl al-Abbas has passed away, into the laps of Abu Abdullah. Here Abu Abdullah wants to give the message that Abu Fazl is no more. Comes, gallops towards the camps, but he is not on the horse, he walks towards the camp. Comes straight to the camp, the tent of Abu Fazl al-Abbas, removes the pillar, as a result of that the tent falls down. So that itself is full of meaning, that is, Abu Fazl is no more. And when the tent falls down, he says, Al-an inkasara dhahri, that is, now my back broke. Abu Fazl is no more. And on that day when the horse returns without the rider, that is, that an after about the here Sakina, she says that, O horse of my father, I know you've come alone, I see these blood stains on you, and I know that my father is no more. A question I have and a reply I want. What is that? It says, Asuqiya abi am qutil atshana. Tell me, my father, was his thirst quenched, or did he die of thirst? A question she asks, an answer she gets, and that is, Shi'ati mahma sharibtum azbama'in fadkurum. That is, my Shias, whenever you drink a sip of water, do remember, do remember. أَوْ سَمِعْتُمْ بِغَرِيبٍ أَوْ شَهِيدٍ فَانْجِبُونَ أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها ten times. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ahyina hayata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, wa amitna mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد وعجل في فرج محمد وآل محمد. All those who have requested for their du'as to be granted. All those who have wishes, hopes, hajjah, all of them to be blessed. All those who are ill and ailing, for them to be blessed with shifa. And all those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. Hasten in the return of our Master, our Imam, our Hujja, Islam and Muslims to be granted with dignity and honor. Kufr and shirk and nifaq to be defamed and disgrace to be granted to them. Wa'atib fi faraji Mawlana Sahib Sahib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.